So we have been teaching and walking through the Sermon on the Mount for knocking on 2 years. And someone asked me this morning, are we going to finish it today? Well, not quite. We're getting close. A few more weeks, but we are getting close. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. And the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' first recorded teaching that we're aware of, his longest teaching. And so that's what we're looking at. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, the Sermon on the Mount is a statement of the life we will live when the Holy Spirit is having his way with us. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is, a description of what life will look like for followers of Jesus when they allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in their lives. And so that's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. I'm going to read these passages since we don't have it on the screen. I'm going to read them from two translations, the New Living Translation and then the Message. Are we up and running? Almost. Okay. So I'll read it from the New Living Translation. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the way is difficult and only a few find it. Or in the Message translation, it says this, don't look for shortcuts to God. Are we going to the next slide? We got to get in sync here. There we go. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. So Jesus makes this statement. He says, you can only enter into the kingdom through the narrow gate, and it's a narrow way. That's the idea he uses. And he compares it to a wide or broad way and a broad gate. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our spirits. I think you got something you want to say to each of us in this room. And help us as we begin to walk through this topic. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, narrow is an interesting word and concept. Let me just walk you through a couple of things just to kind of prime the pump here. You know, the idea or the word that we use called narrow comes from an Old English idea, and this is how the Old English would have used it, is of little width, which makes sense, narrow, okay, and then also not wide or broad, constricted, limited, so, and then we're kind of getting interesting here, limited, petty, causing difficulty, oppressive, strict, and severe. So it goes from the idea that there's a bunch of space, you know, wide road, a narrow road, it just gets more restricted. But then it gets into this idea that, you know, in the Old English could be translated and is used in different places of petty and causing difficulty. As a verb, it means to force in, to cramp, to confine, to become smaller. Again, the idea is an interesting idea, and it's very, the idea of being narrow is very distasteful to our culture. It's very distasteful to our culture, the whole idea that people would be narrow. Or sometimes we use the word narrow what? Minded. Narrow-minded is what would be said. And a narrow-minded person is judged oftentimes as stupid, as unlearned, as mean, of not well-rounded. You know, you look up the Oxford Dictionary, look up synonyms for the narrow-minded. Here's some of those terms that are used as synonyms of someone who's narrow-minded, okay? So here's some of the terms. Intolerant, reactionary, conservative, ultra-conservative, small-town, small-minded, short-sighted, and petty. Those are all words that are synonyms that are used in our culture in writings about someone who's narrow or the idea of being narrow. I was reading someone recently and they said this. They said, call me vain, call me proud, call me mean, but don't call me narrow. So they said, call me vain, call me proud, call me mean, but don't call me narrow. And it's one of the complaints that about Christianity. Is that Christianity is narrow. It's restrictive. It's confining. It's just one of the ways that people, you know, kind of have attitudes or thoughts towards Christianity. But think about this here for just a second. No one has impacted the world in the ways that Jesus impacted the world. No one in all of history. 2,000 years later, I mean, the impact he has today, where between 2 and 3 billion people, a third of the planet, will gather together to do something like we're doing, either online, in person, whatever it happens to be. There's no one who's impacted world history like Jesus. Jesus is one of the most admired people, you know, that do all those things about admired people. Jesus is always, if he's not at the top of the list, he's in the top few. He's mired. And people think about Jesus and they go, man, he's just wonderful. He's a great teacher. He was an amazing man. Everybody should live like Jesus. You know, those are the kinds of things people would say who aren't followers of Jesus. You know, they would say those kinds of things. So Jesus, there's no one who's impacted the world like Jesus has impacted the world, but there's no one has ever been as narrower than Jesus has been or than Jesus is. Just think about this here for a second with me. Jesus said this. He said, and it'll be up on your screen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Really, Jesus? No one can get to the Father except through you? That sounds pretty what? Narrow. I mean, it just sounds like really narrow. And yet that's one of the most famous things Jesus ever said, was I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except coming through me. Narrow. Or someone one time asked Jesus, it's going to be up on your screen. Someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few be saved? He replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know where you came from. What does that all sound like? Narrow. I mean, it just sounds narrow and restrictive and confining. And so it's interesting that our culture loves Jesus. I mean, our culture actually loves all things Jesus. I mean, the popularity among non-church-going people of the chosen is astounding. Because people love all things Jesus, except for when you start getting into this stuff. Or the Apostle Peter said it this way. He said, There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Narrow. Paul said this, God elevated him to the highest place and honor and gave him a name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Or in Philippians, Paul said, and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, when someone quotes these passages like I'm doing, some people get infuriated. I mean, you just have to, you know, open up some social media and you have someone has this as, you know, a little framed picture of on there, and then you start looking at comments. People get infuriated about it. But you know what? And would say, man, it's just so arrogant. It's just so arrogant to have that attitude. And if that was my attitude, and if I thought this up, if I'm the one that came up with the idea, it would be as arrogant as possible. But I didn't come up with this stuff, right? I mean, I didn't come up with it. This is the stuff that our culture, who loves Jesus, doesn't like Jesus having said. And at some point, you kind of got to look at this, at Jesus, and kind of ask the question, was he wonderful or was he like a megalomaniac? Because he wasn't both. You can't say the things he's saying and not, if you don't accept them, you can't say them and go, well, he was wonderful. No, I mean, he's a little bit crazy to stand up in front of people and say, you know, that he's the only way. And again, it's so narrow and people get upset about it. But you know what? That's what Jesus said. So the one who impacted the world more than anyone else talked about a narrow way and a wide way. Now, I just imagine, I just imagine Jesus is with his disciples. You know, he's given the Sermon on the Mount. And again, at this point, there's only four called disciples. The rest of them is just a crowd. And I can just imagine him looking out and, you know, he sees over there this wide road or a wide path, a wide way. And he sees lots of people on it. And he points out and he goes, you know, there's the wide way, the wide gate. You just go through it and there's the wide way. And there's lots of people on it. And then he looks and he also then points over there, but he says, but see that little gate over there? See that little gate? You go through that little gate and there's just a narrow path. And then he uses this illustration to say, you either choose the wide gate and the wide way, or you choose the narrow path and the narrow gate and the narrow way. And it's actually interesting that Jesus actually says, he says, few find it. Again, that's the whole picture of narrowness. That not everybody's going to get it. You know, it's that I always like to tongue in cheek because I'm not, and some of you are not going to like me. You'll probably never come back, and you know. But anyway, I'm not a huge dog lover. Okay, and so I've always thought it's funny that all dogs go to heaven. Isn't that how the story goes? Like all dogs go to heaven? And I'm not convinced that all dogs go to heaven. Okay? My sister-in-law, who lives part of the year in Mexico, she put a thing on Facebook the other day, Barbara's older sister, that she was on a bike ride and got attacked by a couple of dogs and ripped her knee all up. She just got done having her shoulder repaired. And now she got her knee ripped up. I'm not sure those dogs are going to heaven. Okay, did everybody get the picture? So Jesus uses this wide way that, you know, kind of everybody. It's a wide gate and a wide way. And then he points out and says, you know, there's that little gate right over there. And behind that gate or on the other side of that gate, it's narrow. It's narrow. It's difficult and not a lot of people find it. You know, the wide gate is so wide that you can take anything on that gate you want, on that path you want to take. Anything you don't have to get rid of it. Matter of fact, you can put a trailer behind you, and you can go down that road with the trailer behind you. I mean, it's wide. And you go as fast as you want, and you can be like one of those people. You know, that when I get in a lane on I-5, like I, you know, in Linwood, you know, by Alderwood, there you get in, and I'm going to Harborview or whatever it happens to be. I just get in the lane and just stay in the lane. You know, with this whole thing of people weaving in and out of lanes. You can do that on a wide road. You can play all the games you want. You can race people on the wide road. You know, you can do all those things. But in the narrow road, it's just like a one-person track. You know, where it's just, that's it. You're one person and then everybody's following behind. You can take anything you want on the narrow road. But on the narrow road that only a few find it, there's not a lot you can take on it. Now, I'm not talking about stuff here. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about motives. I'm talking about priorities. Those are things that Jesus was talking about. And on this narrow road, you know, there's not much you can take on it. There's things you got to leave behind. Difficult. You know, he says it's a difficult way. Which means there are things, if you're going to follow Jesus through the narrow gate and on the narrow path, there are things you can't take with you. You just have to leave behind. You know, after I graduated from high school, I was going off to university to run. And so me and some friends were going to take one last backpacking trip. Now, I'd not as experienced as Pastor Darrell in the backpacking, but I was an experienced backpacker. Barb and I had taken multiple backpacking trips in junior high and high school together with other people and so on. And we just got all of our stuff together to go on this backpacking trip. I got all my stuff together to go on this backpacking trip. And we drive over. We're going to go up to a mountain, a glacier-fed lake in the North Cascades. And is where we're going to go to, and it's about 8 mile hike in, and we're going to spend a few nights and come back out and so on. And so we have all our gear. We get over there, we park at the bivouac, and get out, and you know everybody gears up, and we start hiking. And we get 2 or 3 miles into this hike, and you know, kind of undulating through the trail and so on. And then all of a sudden, it started climbing, and started climbing pretty steep, pretty quickly. And we got a little bit further up, you know, another mile or so. And I stopped because I wanted to look at the vista. I mean, the view, just unbelievable. You know, this vista, and there's the North Cascade Mountain, which always, in my mind, I've never been to the Swiss Alps, but I always just have this picture. It's like the Swiss Alps. You know, it's just so amazing. And so we stop, and a couple of guys are right behind me. And then this one friend of ours, I mean, he's like way down the hill on this. And so we take off our packs, we go back to where he's at, and he's sucking air. I mean, he's sucking air hard, you know. And found out, I didn't know this, but we come to find out he'd never been backpacking before. So he said, okay, well, his name was Dave. He said, okay, Dave, you know, let's look and see what you got in your pack, because you're obviously not going to be able to carry this all the way to the lake. So we open his pack up, and he's got a 5-pound bag of potatoes. I mean, hello. And so we said, okay, take two, and we just chucked the rest over the thing. Now we pull out. He's got a full cantaloupe in there. Not a chopped up cantaloupe, but, you know, in a bag or something. He's got a full cantaloupe. So we just cut it open and ate it right there on the trail. That weight was gone. You know, I don't know. What does a cantaloupe weigh? A pound? Or, you know, a pound and a half? I don't know. Whatever it was weighing. And then he had a full steak. I mean, all of us had backpacking food. He had a steak he's carrying in this. Well, we didn't eat that on the trail. But he just was way down with this stuff. And we go, no wonder, Dave, not only probably are you not prepared, but you are way down with stuff. You got to get rid of stuff if you're going to make it to the top. One time, Pastor Darrell led a group of guys from our church to Mount St. Helens, up to the edge of the crater, and which is, if you ever get a chance to do it and you're of the age and shape you can do it, it's amazing to do. And so anyway, there's a group of business guys and pastors here on the island, we're doing it. And we get up almost to tree line, and one of the guys is he's huffing, he's puffing. And I so want this guy to get to the crater edge. And so I said to him, I said, you know what, let me take your pack. So I actually had my pack on the back. You know, it's just a day pack. But I had my pack on the back, and I put his pack on the front. So I'm, you know, muling it, because I wanted him to get to the top, and he got to the top. The problem was he was not going to get to the top carrying the things he was carrying. Everybody get the picture? I mean, the reality is there are things in following Jesus that you have to get rid of. You can't take along with you. It's like you get to the gate and you're trying to, you know, sideways through the gate with all your stuff, you know, and Jesus goes, no, let's get rid of some of that stuff. Let's offload. You can't take that with you. You can't take that attitude with you. You can't take that attitude with you. You can't take that priority with you. You can't take that, whatever it happens to be. And he just like, you got to offload that stuff, because this is a narrow gate that you're going to struggle to get through. And when you get on the other side to the narrow path and you start hiking that narrow path and it's up and it's difficult and it's down and it's difficult, you can't carry all that stuff. You got to bit by bit get rid of it. The writer of the letter to Hebrews, which is called, it's just called Hebrews in your Bible, it says this. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. It's like you got to offload this stuff. You know, and the whole thing of tripping, you know, I do a lot of trail running and I fall. You just catch your foot on a root. Next thing you know, you're doing a face plant and hoping nobody's looking, you know, kind of thing. And you get up, you're muddy, and you just keep running. It's hard enough to do a hard trail up, down, all through all the way. It's hard enough to do a hard trail without having something that you're carrying that will trip you up. So you try and keep everything that could possibly trip you up, you try to keep that away from you because you already have the difficulty of the trail. Everybody get the picture? You know, one of my favorite historical events that I've spent, I've read 4 or 5 books about, white papers from Harvard Business Review and so on, and it's about the adventure of a guy named Shackleton. And some of you are aware of it, Ernest Shackleton, some of you are not aware of it, but let me just take you through just a teeny bit of it. So he was an Antarctic explorer in the early 1900s, and he's been called the greatest leader in the last 200 years. If you just Google Shackleton, you get 18 million hits. Papers that have been written about, books, movies. There's a great brand new movie out on Annie, help me here for a second. No, it's not Netflix. It's, the magazine, the yellow magazine, National Geographic. It's my age, okay? These things are just starting to, like, I can't I can't grab them. They're in the ether somewhere, but I can't grab them. National Geographic, because they found the Endurance boat that's been in the water since 1915, sunk at 10,000 feet in the Antarctic. And they found it, and it's amazing how intact it is. I mean, they show, like, one of the pictures. I'm going on a little side trail here, so just bear with me. A picture of a guy's boot that they see with the cameras underwater. This guy's boot, high boot. It's got a lace, a strap around here to keep it up above his calf. And then all of a sudden they shift it off, and they show you one of the pictures that was actually taken on the Endurance of that guy wearing the boot. It's incredible how preserved that ship is after more than 100 years, because it's in 10,000 feet of water. But anyway, so he's been, and when you're saying he's the greatest leader, when people say he's the greatest leader in the last 200 years, you're talking about in the centuries that gave us, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and FDR and, you know, Eisenhower, and I mean, you just go down the list, and people will say that of him. So he was taking this ship called the Endurance. He had 27 guys on board besides himself. Went to South Georgia Island. I'm going to go really quick here. Went to South Georgia Island. And from there, they were going to cross the Weddell Sea and get as close to land as they could, because they were going to, these 28 men were going to try and cross from one side of Antarctica to the other. Okay? And they get out in the Weddell Sea, and they're about 80 miles offshore, and their boat gets stuck in the ice. And for 10 months, their boat is stuck in the ice. And these ice flows, you know, the waves and all the storm that's going on, I mean, it's crushing this boat, and it's pushing it up until eventually, 10 months later, it crushes the ship, and that's where the ship goes down, and that's where they actually found, you know, the Endurance ship. So they get off the boat. They've been in 10 months frozen in the ice, living on this boat, on this ship. They get off the ship, tell them they have to get off the ship, because now, the ship, in those 10 months, the ship has traveled almost 700 miles in the Weddell Sea, because, you know, they're frozen in the sea here, 80 miles from land, and this sea does this while they're stuck in it. And now they're 700 miles from where they were when they got stuck in the ice. 700 miles from land. Shackleton says the only way we're going to survive. And now that their objective was to cross Antarctica, now he's saying, now our objective is, I want to keep every one of you alive. And that's why people say he's the greatest leader. He kept all 28 of them alive. All 28 survived. And they then got off the ship, and then they started a journey to be rescued, and eventually they're rescued and so on. But as they get off the ship, they start collecting the stuff they're going to take with them as a team, but then every individual person could only take 2 pounds of personal belongings with them. 2 pounds. I was telling Bobby this yesterday, and Bobby was talking about when he was a teenager and went backpacking, and he got this backpack all up, and it was 140 pounds. He goes, I got to lighten this. I don't remember the exact figures, but something like 140 pounds. And he said, I got to lighten this pack. And he was able to lighten it down to 110 pounds. They got down to where they could have 2 pounds individually. Shackleton himself got rid of a gold watch that was a family heirloom. He got rid of a cigarette case. He actually tore pages out of his Bible because he thought, I'm probably not going to read those. He tore it, but he wanted that Bible. And so he tore pages out of his Bible to lighten the load to where he had 2 pounds. I mean, that's kind of what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the narrow gate and the narrow way, that there are things you just got to get rid of. You can't take 140 pounds on the trail of following Jesus. You can't take 110 pounds of following Jesus on the trail. You got to lighten the load. You got to get rid of that attitude. You got to get rid of that attitude. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid. You can't go. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make the journey. And what he's actually doing is he's warning. He's actually telling the disciples that he's preparing them, because he's like, you don't know how difficult this journey is going to be. You get on this path of the narrow way, and there will be people against you, and you will lose this, and you will lose that. And what do we know? In the end, only the Apostle John was the only one, other than Judas committed suicide, the Apostle John was the only one who lived to an old age. Every one of them, the other 10, were all executed on the way. On the narrow way, they were executed. Jesus is trying to warn them, guys, you don't understand how difficult this journey's going to be. You got to offload that. You cannot take that with you. It's going to be narrow. It's going to be steep. There's not going to be a lot of people on it. There's not going to be a lot of resources. You got to get rid of it. And Jesus talked like that all the time. It's one of the things that startled the disciples when, because they didn't understand what Jesus was actually talking about when he talked about his death. But here's what Jesus said. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, following him on the path through the narrow gate, through the narrow path, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. You just got to say no to you. Or he said it a different way. He said, if you try to hang on to your life, if you try to keep all of those things, you're going to lose it. But you got to get rid of those things. But if you give up your life for my sake, and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. You got to lighten your load. You got to lighten your load. You got to, one of the, it's not that Jesus is being restrictive and doesn't want, you know, all, whatever the things happen to be. He's saying you got to get rid of that attitude. You got to have that priority change. You got to have the way you're looking at things. You got to have it different, because you cannot make it on the path if you're carrying those things with you. Everybody get the picture? That's what he's talking about. Let me give you one more illustration. A great illustration of this is marriage. Is when you go to get married. You know, you get ready to get married, and you got all kinds of things you're bringing with you. But when you get married, all of a sudden it's like you got to offload that. You can't take that into marriage and have your marriage survive. You know, so I just made a short list of some of the things, and this might be news to some of you, and it might be why you're having marriage struggles. Okay, but some of the things. You gotta let go of independence. When you get married, you are no longer independent. You are now dependent, and someone else is dependent on you. I mean, your marriage will struggle and struggle hard if you're like, "Well, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Who is she to tell me I can't do this? How do I get rid of this woman?" You do that, and you have people have those reactions, and the people are laughing. You guys are laughing because you know this is real. You can't take independence with you. You can't take selfishness with you. You can't take freedom. You when you get married, you lose a level of freedom. It's gone. Are you guys with me? I mean, it is true. It's true. You just lose a level of freedom. Priorities come and go as you want. Spend money where you want. I mean, the sexual craziness that our world lives in, where you're talking about, you know, I mean, just all the polygamy and polyamory and, you know, threesomes and, you know, foursomes and 16-somes and all the stuff that people are doing in our world that's just crazy. You know what it's all about? Is I want to be married. I want to have someone who will take care of me, who will be my partner. But I'm going to do my thing. Jesus says, when it comes to marriage, no, that stuff all has to go. He said, 1 Corinthians says it this way. 1 Corinthians, Paul said this. He said, a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. He says of a woman. He says a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. You have to. He's talking about staying single versus being married. He's trying to point out, when you get married, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you bring to the gate of marriage that you have to leave on that side of the gate of marriage. Otherwise, marriage will be very, very difficult. And here's the reality. You put two people together that come from different backgrounds, different, you know, experiences, all kinds of things. You put them together in a marriage, and it's already difficult enough without bringing all of that stuff with you. Right? And so then you bring it with you, and it's like, oh my. So there's all kinds of applications to this. But Jesus is saying, there is a narrow way. And let me just change the context as I wrap this up. Let me just change the context. In the context, because again, context is everything. In the context, when Jesus said there's a narrow way and a wide way, there's a narrow gate and a wide way, part of what he's talking about is the Sermon on the Mount points out the narrow way. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is pointing out. This is the narrow way. This is the narrow way. Here's the things he went to. Being a peacemaker is the narrow way. Everybody can be a fighter. Anybody can be a fighter. But to be a peacemaker, that's the narrow way. or to love your enemies. That's the narrow way. Forgiveness. Anybody can be bitter, but not everybody can forgive. I mean, everybody can forgive, but everybody isn't willing to forgive. It's the narrow way. Or blessing those who curse you, narrow way. Not worry, narrow way. Not making all things money the focus of your life, narrow way. Keeping your promise, the narrow way. Telling the truth, the narrow way. Getting rid of lust, the narrow way. Not condemning people is the narrow way. I mean, just go on and on. Last week when he talked about the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated, that's the narrow way. The wide way is treat them however you want. Do whatever you want to do. Just treat them however you want to treat them. That's fine. But going through the narrow gate onto the narrow way is treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the narrow way. And Jesus says, that's the way. That's the way. Or if you think about the narrow way is about what's going on inside. The wide way is about what's going on the outside. So he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, or you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus says, that's the wide way. That's the wide way. And he says, but I'm telling you, somebody who lusts, you need to deal with it. That's the narrow way. Or he says, you've heard it said, don't murder someone. That's the wide way. I mean, just like, could you just not kill other people? That's the wide way. The narrow way is you need to deal with the anger in your heart. Everybody with me? That's the narrow way. So in the context, he's actually talking about that idea. And it's this narrow way. Let me talk about two people right quick. There's a disciple who followed the Apostle Paul, traveled with Luke, and his name was Demas. We don't know a whole lot about him, but Demas, and Paul says this. He said, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends greetings, and so does Demas. And then another passage, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in the Christ Jesus, sends you his blessings, and so does Demas and Luke, my co-workers. So somehow this guy was a traveling companion with Jesus, with Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he went through the narrow gate and he was on the narrow path, but at some point he said, I can't keep doing the narrow way. And he left the narrow way and went to the wide way. The last thing that is said about him, and this is maybe where he's most known for, it says, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. He had gone through the narrow gate, he was on the narrow path, and he was traveling with Paul and Luke and Timothy and all these guys, and then at some point, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. And he left the narrow way and went to the wide way. Because the narrow way, let's just be honest, the narrow way is not always the easy way, is it? I mean, the wide way has, you got all kinds of options. Yeah, there's probably more consequences for the wide way. But the narrow way, just it's difficult, it's confined, it's restricted, it's like, I gotta get, you know, I can't carry that with, I can't keep having that attitude about my older son. I gotta get rid of that attitude about my older son. Yeah, you gotta get rid of that attitude. Jesus is like, okay, this next climb, it's gonna be hard. You know that attitude you're carrying around about your older son, your oldest son? You need to get rid of that attitude. Because you will not climb further on this path that you want to climb on, I want you to climb on, you're not going to be able to climb it while you got that attitude about your older son. Everybody with me? And you could put all kinds of things in there. You could put about your boss. You could put about, you know, the dog catcher. I mean, well, you could put anything in there you want, okay? But there are times where Jesus says, you know what, you got to get rid of that because you can't continue on this journey while you're carrying that with you. And I don't know what that is for you, okay? But Jesus will speak to you about it. One other person is, there's this guy, he's famous. He's just called the rich young ruler in the New Testament. And most of you, even if you have a little church background, you've heard, the rich young ruler, I've heard of him. I've heard of him, you might not know the story. But this guy came to Jesus one day and says, Jesus, how do I get through the gate into the kingdom? He said, that's what he said. He said, what does someone have to do to make it into the kingdom? And Jesus said, looked at the man. He said, well, do this and this and this. And he said, well, I've done all that. He says, like, I've taken care of all that. And he said, what else do I have to do? He says, well, here's what you got to do. Is you got to sell everything you have, and you got to give it to the poor. Because you can't take everything you have. Now, in this case, he's talking about everything. He says, you can't, the trailer will not fit through the gate, and you won't be able to pull it on the trail. You got to get rid of it. That's what he's saying to this rich young ruler. And what does it say to the rich young ruler? He went away sad. Because he had so much stuff in his trailer. He went away sad. He said, you know, I can't do the narrow way. I can't do the narrow way. The only thing I can do is the wide way. And he journeyed on the wide way for a while. Now what does this have to do with all of us? One of the things this has to do with us, if you're someone who's been like, I think I've been on the wide way, because the wide way is the default way. You don't have to choose to go on the wide way. The wide way is the default way. It's the wide way is the way everyone else is going. But you do have to choose to find that gate, the narrow gate. Because what does he say? The gate, the narrow gate, he said, it's hard to find and few find it. You got to find that gate. And then once you get through that gate, then you have a narrow path. There's things that Jesus is going to say you got to get rid of. Now, in 1979, I made a choice in Mark Morris Gymnasium. I made a choice that I was going to enter through the little gate. And I was going to follow this little narrow path. And it's been the most wonderful decision I ever made. Second one was marrying Barbara. No, the second one was finally getting her to say yes. Okay, it took a lot. Jesus just, he jumped on it. When I said, I'm going to go through the gate, Barbara, it was a little harder to get, you know, get on that path. Every one of us have to make a choice to say, I'm going to go through the narrow gate and I'm going to walk the narrow path. And that's where it all starts. That's where my walk of faith started. That's where everyone who's in a journey of faith in this room, that's where it started. Some people was in a big meeting. Some people, my wife, it was just in a little Bible study with a little girl beside her, said, hey, do you want to follow Jesus? And I said, well, everybody's different on how it happens. But the narrow way starts with going through the narrow gate, which is Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead in a prayer that's a, Lord, I want to go through the gate prayer. And if you've never gone through the gate prayer, this is your opportunity to go through the narrow gate, to have Jesus come in. It's a surrender gate. It's like, okay, if I'm going to go through that narrow gate, that means I gotta offload all that stuff. Anybody want that stuff? You know, I gotta offload it because I can't take it through the narrow gate. Let's all bow our heads. And you would just quietly pray between you and Jesus. Similar words. You don't have to have my exact words, but similar words to what I'm gonna pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that you've been working in my life. Thank you for the people that you've been using to work in my life. And now I see this gate in front of me, this narrow gate. And I choose today to walk through the narrow gate, to leave all kinds of stuff back, pile it up there on the road. And I'm walking through the narrow gate right now. And I pledge to follow you on the narrow path. I want you to come and strengthen me. I want you to come and teach me how to do this. I want you to come and open my eyes so that I can see the things that are weighing me down. Because I want to follow you on this narrow path. I commit myself to you, Jesus. Amen. And while your heads are still down, if you prayed that prayer today, would you just lift your hand just so I can see it and know who I'm praying for? And after you raise your hand, you can put it down. You don't need to keep it up. Jesus, you see a number of people that raised their hands. They prayed that prayer. They want to walk through the narrow gate, on the narrow path. They're leaving some stuff behind today. I pray you just keep working in their hearts, working in their spirits, speaking to them, opening their eyes, opening their spirits, opening their hearts up. And Lord, that again, you can take them where you desire for them to go. So God, make yourself real to them this week. Thank you for people that you've placed into their lives to help them on this journey. Pray you give them wisdom as they help this travel partner they now have. Father, for the rest of us who have been on this journey for a while, I think you're speaking to people. I think there's things you're pointing out, and there's things not only you've been pointing out, there's things you're going to point out this week in our lives. Help us to make that decision to get rid of that thing, to pull it out of our pack, put it down alongside the trail, and so that we can keep moving forward in the direction you want us to go. And Lord, thank you for your kindness that you just kindly point out, you got to get rid of that attitude. You got to get rid of that bitterness. You got to get rid of that dishonesty. You got to confess that And you just are so kind to work with us, to lighten our load. That's what you said. You come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you said, my pack is light. Teach us how to get rid of the things that weigh us down, Jesus. So do your work. Us in the room, those that were joining us online, and even those that prayed a prayer of walking through the gate that were online today or this week. Minister, Jesus. Keep doing your work in us that we can be faithful, faithful, faithful hikers on the narrow trail you've put us on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new, I hope you'll come join us again. And don't forget, Tuesday night, if you're interested, is the doubt dinner time. And just contact the church office. Let us know you're coming. God bless you. Have a great day. Those of you online, come join us. God bless you.